Hi, I'm Chris Cotnor, executive producer of the DSR Network. We've been incredibly busy here over the past month. With the launch of TNR's Daily Blast, we now produce 10 shows covering foreign policy, national security, domestic politics, cyber and tech, legal, and much more. We've also just launched our redesigned website at thedsrnetwork.com. With all this content, there has never been a better time to become a member. Members receive an ad-free listening experience, bonus content for nearly all of our shows, early access to episodes, enhanced show notes, and access to our exclusive DSR Slack community. Membership is just $7 per month or $70 per year. To become a member, please visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy. Thank you very much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the DSR Daily, where we look at the news, try to provide a little insight into it. I am David Rothkopf, joined as ever by Chris Cotnor. How are you doing, Chris?
I am exceedingly well.
That's a Friday answer for you. And Riley Fessler, how are you doing, Riley?
I'm also exceedingly well.
Yes, and happy Good Friday to all who celebrate. I guess you don't really celebrate Good Friday, do you? I mean, you commemorate, you mark Good Friday, right?
Yeah,
It's not a celebratory kind of day, right? Yeah, I just want to be respectful. Go on.
The International Court of Justice has mandated Israel to ensure unobstructed aid access to Gaza to prevent an imminent famine, spotlighting a catastrophic food insecurity crisis affecting 2.2 million Gaza inhabitants. My question here for the expert is, what does this mean? Does this have teeth? I say no, but...
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, you know, it means something in the sense that the International Court, you know, and the international community, the UN, believe that something needs to be done because there is a dire situation there. But there are no teeth. There's no enforcement mechanism that the Israelis will acknowledge. And, you know, our friend Jeremy Kneindike, who is the CEO of Refugees International, yesterday did a longish kind of analysis, a thread, I think you can find it on Twitter, in which he said that if this conflict continues, or if the absence of, you know, food and water continue for another 6 months, and it seems likely that the effects will continue for months after even the conflict is stopped, that you could expect a toll now from this famine in the mid to high five figures. So 50,000, 60,000 people could die. And that's why the international community is alarmed. There have been some stories in the Israeli press saying the threat is overstated. I can't imagine why anybody would seek to quibble with the collective voices of the international community when they say the situation is so dire. And it's one of the fastest developing famines that experts have ever seen. And so one can only hope that a deal is reached, a hostage deal is reached, there is a cessation of fighting, and people can turn their attention to helping these horrifically suffering people in Gaza. Riley?
Russia has vetoed a UN monitoring group responsible for overseeing sanctions against North Korea. It is the first decision of its kind in the 14 years of the panel's operation, which was established in 2009 and has played a key role in tracking North Korea's compliance with international sanctions, especially focusing on activities like cyber attacks, oil smuggling, and weapons proliferation. So it doesn't have enforcement power, but it is still a significant setback for the global nuclear nonproliferation efforts. And it just is, again, kind of Russia poking the rest of the world in the eye over Ukraine and the fact that everyone is pretty much against it, except for certain groups.
Well, and also, I mean, let's be clear there. North Korea has been providing Russia with arms. And so, you know, clearly there are quid pro quos in that deal, and this is just one of the quid pro quos that are in that deal. Chris?
Sam Bankman-Fried, we reported yesterday, was to receive his sentence, and he sure did. He's going to prison for 25 years, which is a long freaking time. This is, of course, in response to him stealing $8 billion from his customers. It's a little harsh, in my opinion, but nonetheless, he's going to spend...
You love those tech community people. He also has to pay back $11 billion.
Oh, I know. Where do they come up with that number?
Well, I don't know. They're formulas for coming up with these things. Obviously, he's not gonna have that money. He'll go bankrupt or something. And
he doesn't have any money, right? I mean,
well, I don't know. You may be in touch with him. I'm not in touch. I have no idea. I did note, however, a lot of people on the Twitters, like, you know, Elon, getting their old tweets thrown in their face because, you know, a year ago, a lot of them were like, well, Sam Bankman-Fried's never going to be prosecuted because he's a big Dem donor. Well, that didn't turn out that way. This is a pretty serious sentence. He'd probably get released in, you know, half this amount of time for good behavior or something. It is what it is. It's the law. And, you know, white collar criminals should obey the law. They destroy lives. He destroys lives. If it was your like total life savings that he had wiped out, you know, you would want this guy in a hole for the rest of eternity.
Probably, right? You're right.
Yeah. So have a little compassion. Jeez.
I have compassion.
Have to think of the victims.
You know what my issue is not. He committed a crime. He absolutely should go to jail. But like, look at
Donald Trump.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Elizabeth Holmes paraded around the country duping investors into investing into Theranos, knowing full well that technology was not working as she was representing it to. And she didn't get 25 years in prison.
Well, maybe it's the scale of the crime. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? But the American judicial system is notoriously light on blonde women. You know,
I'm going to get fact checked on that, so I better.
Yeah, you better. Well, okay, you dig that up while Riley's doing another story. What's the story, Riley?
So Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, is on a two-day visit to New Delhi aimed at strengthening Ukraine-India relations. It's significant because India is kind of historically more, not necessarily allied with Russia, but definitely more sympathetic and lax in terms of, you know, enacting punishments on them. They've certainly been more hesitant to enact any kind of sanctions on Russia over the renewed invasion of Ukraine. This visit in particular follows discussions between the prime minister of India and Volodymyr Zelensky. Still, they've been playing a little bit both sides of this, but it is certainly an effort to kind of get them to more swing things towards Ukraine's favor. We'll see if it's successful. I'm a little skeptical because of just the historical ties, but we'll see.
You have every reason to be skeptical. India, however, you know, it's the course under Modi is to sort of, you know, try to lead a new non-aligned movement. And so to maintain favor with all. And of course, as you say, you know, Russia has had close relations with India since back in the days of Indira Gandhi. And Modi is part of, you know, that right-wing ethno-nationalist movement that's led by Putin. So he wants to be close to the U.S. He wants to be close to Putin. He, you know, they have enmity with China, but they're also having conversations there. He's talking to the global South. You know, he's on a course, as are many who are trying not to become embroiled in a new Cold War. Chris?
I did my fact-checking, and wouldn't you know, the New York Times has an article comparing Sam Bankman-Fried's sentence to other white-collar criminals, including Elizabeth Holmes, who received 11 years in prison. On the other side of the coin, Mr. Bernie Madoff received 150 years in prison. So maybe in the end it was a just punishment. In any case, at a star-studded fundraising event at Radio City Music Hall.
You know, there are a lot of poor black kids who, like, steal a loaf of bread and spend 20 years in prison. So, like, let's you know, try to put it in perspective.
It sounds like an episode, a future episode for us to talk about.
Discuss in more depth. Okay, well, let's do that.
The prison system.
Well, you know, we have our own. We have our own podcast network. We can have any discussion we want. It's one of the few advantages.
Well, luckily the Supreme Court, you know, is just and fair. So
yeah, no, they are just and fair. We love them. So you're turning to entertainment news tonight.
The encouraging, I mean, they raised $25 million. So this was a fundraiser in New York City.
$26 million is what they're saying.
Sorry, $26 million, David. Exactly. I apologize. I know you and Joe are very tight.
The last one was me. It was a million from me. No, I wouldn't be in the same zip code as $1 million. Anyway, go on.
Former President Obama, former President Clinton, along with singers like Lizzo, appeared at Radio City during this fundraiser. It was attended by 5,000 people. The minimum price of a ticket was $250, so you could have gone. With the maximum contribution I've heard at sort of $500,000. Honestly, this is pretty encouraging.
And if you paid $100,000, you could get your picture taken with all three ex presidents.
$100,000. Jesus. Well, I'm sure people paid it.
Yeah, no, I got pictures with each of those dudes. So if I put them together,
it's $100,000. You could go to an auction house,
eBay. Yeah, no, and anybody listening, if you want those three pictures, I will make them available to you for $99,000. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
That's really all there is to say. But although, like, how encouraging is that?
Well, I mean, it's promising. Biden's raising a lot of money. The Republicans hopped on this because, in a really cynical move, you know, Donald Trump went to the funeral of a slain police officer in Long Island. And the Republicans said, see, Donald Trump is caring about the police while Biden is off hobnobbing with celebrities. Of course, the Biden event had been scheduled long in advance. It's hard to get three presidents together. Secondly, you know, there are countless incidents of first responders who suffer horrible fates, to which Donald Trump has chosen not to go. And in fact, the idea that he would present himself with his 91 different felony counts as a champion of law and order, particularly since he has already said that he would pardon the people who stormed the Capitol, which led to the deaths of police officers and injuries to police officers, you know, is just unbelievably cynical and reveals him for what he is. He doesn't care about police, cares about Donald Trump. But this is a big fundraiser, and Biden is continuing to raise more and more money and gaining ground on where Trump is. And that is a positive thing. Little bits and pieces of Stephen Colbert's interviews with the three presidents are coming online, and they're pretty funny. Mindy Kaling was the host, which I think is an inspired choice. I'm behind any event that Mindy Kaling is the host of. We will obviously see much more of this as the year progresses. Anyway, it's Friday. The weekend's ahead. We've got our usual Friday lineup of podcasts coming our way and coming your way. So, you know, join them, listen to them. We did a very interesting podcast yesterday with Nina Burley, a journalist, and sort of deep dive into where Rupert Murdoch is and Fox is right now and where they're going. Well worth your time. So join that, listen to that, listen to the other pods we've got today, and we'll join you again on Monday morning. In the interim, for those of you who celebrate, have a good Easter. Bye-bye.